Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
All right, Daniel chapter 3. Turn there if you would. Daniel and chapter 3. This is a third in a series out of the book of Daniel. Daniel in chapter 3. Let me read just verse 1. Stand with me if you would, please. It says in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Father, we come to you this morning. We're going to read about a Babylonian culture that is pagan, that is full of idolatry. And it fits the culture that we are living in today. And so, Lord, I just pray it'd be great encouragement for every New Testament Christian that they would read what is found here in Daniel in chapter 3. And I would preach and expound the Word of God, exegete Scripture in its context. And Lord, we pray that you'd build the saints of God. And Father, for someone that may be here that is not born again, there's never been a day of salvation, they don't know for sure that they're a child of God going to heaven, Lord, please expose them to the truth of the gospel that today they might get born again. They might get saved and know they're on their way to heaven. Open their ears and their hearts to the truth of what Jesus has done for all of us. And today may they receive you as their personal Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This message this morning, Daniel in chapter 3, I know you're familiar with the three Hebrew children. I know you're familiar with the stand that they took. And I want you to know that they had to go through the fiery furnace. And by the way, if the Lord tarries and you stand for God, now if you're a chameleon, that's different. Get along. Get along. And you know, it's not going to get real good. But if you're taking your stand for God, there are some fiery furnaces in your future. And this is a message of encouragement to help you when those days come, because those days are very important. God, give us some Daniels. Give us some Hananias and Mishaels and Azariahs. That was their Jewish names. Give us some young men that will stand for God and be willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace. It says here in chapter 3 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits, about 90 feet tall, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. That's about 9 feet. Now, I don't think that'd be a really skinny statue, except that this is no doubt the case. It was 90 feet tall and 9 feet thick, wide that way. That's the right proportion for a man. So he made a great big statue, and he wanted everybody to worship him. Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know that he was saved at this point. I know he was impacted by Daniel. This was just a few years after the situation in Daniel in chapter 1. It could be as many as 20 years, but the fact is, I think Nebuchadnezzar gets saved later. Now, if you're looking for pictures, Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist. So, but don't carry that picture too far. Makes an image of gold, 90 feet tall, 9 feet thick, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, which is about 300 miles northwest of Babylon, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges and the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. One world religion, that's kind of what's being pictured here, but this is a big, flashy ceremony. All of the dignitaries, all of the powerful people of the kingdom of Babylon have been gathered together 300 miles northwest of Babylon, the city of Babylon, for this ceremony. There's going to be pomp and circumstances. The big orchestra has been gathered together. It's going to be all that the Babylonians can conjure up. And this thought came to me, and it maybe has come to you before. Where was Daniel when this was going on? Well, likely he was back in Babylon. And likely because he was second in all of Babylon already at this point. So likely, man, he was probably far removed and somebody's got to run the country and he's back there. I don't know that for sure, but he's not here because he would not have bowed either. Now, these three Hebrew men, and they're young men at this time, maybe as old as 30 years of age. I don't know that for sure. We found out a few things about these three Jews. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't budge. And we found out they wouldn't burn. They stood for God. These are three young men that, and we're comfortable in America. Talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Not like the rest of the world. And we're looking for more comfort all the time. But these three men, they were willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Let's read on. I'll preach as I go. But let me say this to all the young men that are here and young ladies, you young men that are up front here, and all the old people as well, but especially them. God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
God has great things he wants to do through you guys, you girls, and everybody here. And I speak to you because you're young in life and you're making some good decisions right now. I trust and I pray. Bible camp's in front of you. I know you're all excited about that, but God has a plan for your life. And here's three men that you can emulate. Here's three men that refuse to bow down to an idol. And idolatry is a problem in America. This is a pagan culture in which we live, and there are idols in every direction. Person, places, and things. It's power, it's prestige, it's comfort, it's family, it's possessions, it's all of those things. Anything that comes between you and God, as soon as it whispers your name, you kick Christ to the curb, you would never admit it with those words. But it isn't Jesus first in your life. Remember last Sunday's message, before I get to it? There's three things that we all need to protect, I need to protect. One of them is my Bible time, my Bible study. Another is my prayer closet, and then my church attendance. And everything else is going to revolve around that, not acclimate to that. First and foremost, here's what happens. At 9:30 in the morning, the devil starts working on Sunday. 5:30 at night on Sunday, the devil starts working. 6:30 on Wednesday night, the devil starts working. If you will protect those things, if you just set yourself up for success and make sure, here's some priorities. It's my worship, it's my worship, it's my worship. That's what Daniel lived, that's what he lived. And he and these three men refused to bow down to idols. Little children, little brothers, little sisters, this is the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse and the last verse. Keep yourself from idols. Let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. I'm going to get to the text, I promise. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. I think. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what their life was all about. It's all they cared about. And that lifestyle had become an idol. It had dictated their lives. All right? Skip on down to verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. That's good to know with the fiery furnaces. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Go back now to Daniel chapter 3. And let me make this statement. The fiery furnace. And when I say the fiery furnace, that implies a lot of things. That implies that you're living for God, you're taking your stand, the godly shall suffer persecution. The fiery furnace is a good thing. That's where the fourth man is. It's a good thing. Many a Christian will never know the fiery furnace because they're weak spiritually and will never get, they'll compromise long before that. But the fiery furnace is a good place to be. Understand what I'm saying? Because the fourth man is there. You say, what in the world are you talking about, preacher? Let's read Daniel in chapter 3. I'm going to read quite fast. These three Hebrew men faced the fury of Nebuchadnezzar. Man, they stood right in his sights. It says in verse 3, then the princes and the captains and the judges, they all show up, all right? Verse 4 says, then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, again, it's a national ceremony, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, the orchestra, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship. All of officialdom, all of the leadership, are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. We don't have to bow to the world's music. They're commanded to. We don't have to obey commands that are contrary to the principles and the commands of the Word of God. And these three men, they stuck out like sore thumbs there in the plain of Dura. All of the big shots, all of the, anybody that's anybody, anybody's got a name, any kind of power, any kind of stick at all, any kind of platform, they're there, and it's a national ceremony. And you know, when the music starts to play, everybody's supposed to bow down to this idol. Not these three Hebrews, because they had already determined, like Daniel, in their heart, that they were going to stand for God come hell or high water, no matter what happens. That is so refreshing. Oh, in this world of compromise, where the drumbeat just never ends, never ends. Give a little here, give a little there. Let go of it here. Let loose a little bit on the grip you've got of the Word of God. Just kind of keep acclimating. And a whole generation is lost. As a child of God, man, we got to stand for the truth. We need to determine, predetermine ahead of time in God's great offensive huddle that we're going to stand for God. Amen. No matter what happens, no matter who's lined up on the other side. I came across this reading this last week. In the 4th century, there was a Christian leader named Athanasius. He was known for his boldness in the faith, his strength. He was called by some narrow-minded and arrogant, but he's a New Testament Christian. He was confronted by the Emperor Theodosius. Theodosius said, this is the Emperor of Rome, to Athanasius, the whole world is against you, Athanasius. Then the response was, then Athanasius is against the whole world. You stand for the truth no matter what the culture says, no matter what the world says, no matter what the music plays. These three men were men of great faith. Verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I may not get to this, but I want to say this as quickly as I can. The Babylonians and then the Assyrians to follow were masters at torture. They were experts, and they enjoyed executions. They filleted men alive. They put them on the stake. They found ways to elongate their torture before their death. It was like a cultic, bloodthirsty desire. Entire cities. History tells us that when the Babylonians besieged a city, there are instances in history where entire cities, when they knew all hope was gone, committed suicide rather than be alive when they came over the walls or through the gates. And that's what they were known for. That was this ungodly culture. By the way, the United States of America, 60 million babies murdered. And we have a thirst for it. And by the way, you vote. Don't hide your head in the sand concerning abortion. Don't say, well, it's their choice. No, not if you had a vote, it wasn't just their choice. You need to understand that, all right? So this pagan culture, the LGBT Q crowd, you know, and don't throw the word hater around. Don't throw the word hater at me. I'm not a hater. I love their souls. Jesus loves them. He wants them to get born again. That's just sin is all it is. Don't condone the sin, but love the sinner. So here's these three men. They're not going to compromise, although the drumbeat's going on. The same hour they're to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, and by the way, they burned babies back then. That was part of their worship. Bloodthirsty. Therefore, at that time, you ever see a baby and a fetus being torn apart? Ever see those videos where the baby's trying to escape the doctor? Where it cries out? God hears those cries. Yep. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, and harp, let's go to the next verse. I got to speed this up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, these are native Babylonians, not those that acclimated, came near and accused the Jews, anti-Semitic. Devils always tried to destroy that nation, those people. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, and every man that hear the sound of the music, that they would bow down. And whoso falleth not, verse 11, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It may be that Nebuchadnezzar was manipulated. It might be that he was conned into building this idol. I don't know. I don't know how God was working in his heart, but I know the people around him, his advisors. It might be that he was manipulated. It wouldn't be the first time a president or a king was manipulated or conned by his advisors. It happens all of the time. It says, he said, didn't you say that they would die, that they would be thrown in the fiery furnace? Yes, sir. Verse 11 says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Namely, here's a Babylonian name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. King, they are not for you. The wiles of the devil, verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. And the king's going to say, you've got one more chance. I like you guys. You're good leaders. You got one more chance. Let's go all the way down to verse 15. Now if it be ready, now if ye be ready, that at the time when ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? There's a challenge that goes unanswered all too many times in our culture. But these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. They are firm and they were courteous, but there was no doubt. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They already knew. There was no question. They stood before the king and said, our God can deliver us from that furnace. By the way, how did they know that? They were students of the word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. This was already written. This was already scripture. They were already able to read it. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. So they'd already read the promise of Scripture. They already knew that was for the Jewish people. They already knew that this if God willed it, this is the time. We're going to pass through the fires. These were men of great faith. Verse 18, first three words, but if not. You want to read some interesting history? I just forgot the battle. England, the British Empire, Dunkirk. Read about the message that was radioed to the soldiers at Dunkirk and the response that they gave. Basically, I'll paraphrase, we're coming to rescue you. But if not. That's all they said, but if not. And at that time, England was close enough to God and heard enough Bible preaching, they knew exactly what that meant. The Germans didn't. But if not, what they're saying is, our God's able to deliver us, but if he chooses not to, that's his will. We're going to burn. And we're good with that, because we'll see our Jesus face to face. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Life or death, we serve God. Life or death, it's Jesus first. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, out of control. And the form of his visage was changed. You ever see somebody get mad like that? Against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. These were stalwart, hardened warriors to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen. You say, why did they wrap them up like that? I'll tell you why. It's because of the Babylonian culture. They wanted them to burn longer. They wanted them to be torture. So they wrapped them up in all that they had. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats. It's even their underwear. That's the hosen. And their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me just put a little parenthesis here. It stinks to serve the gods of this world.
That's right.
It stinks. I mean, you know what? You might think they're promising you everything and they got nothing. And it's all going to come to naught when it's all said and done. I've said this multiple times this spring. The devil doesn't have any happy old men. I don't know of any of them. They have a bunch of old men that are full of regrets. They have a bunch of old ladies that are full. They have nothing but regrets. And they're trying to hang on to this life as long as they can because it's all they got. But you show me a happy old man of God, an old man of God that's walking for God, or an old woman that's walking with God, and they're happy. Then they're content. And they know that all that this world has, it's all temporary. And as good as it's gotten, another pasty in the oven, it's going to get even better when we get home to heaven. It says here in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spake and said unto the counselors, hey, didn't we throw three men down there? Didn't we just throw three guys down there? And it's like it's a spectator sport. You see, I'm not quite picturing what's this fiery furnace. It could have been a lot of different ways. The god of Molech, that was one of the gods that they worshipped and others before them, where it was a big furnace, but it had like a great, huge, open mouth, and they just stoked the fires. I mean, huge, as big as a building as far as the open mouth, and they'd throw those babies in there, and it was all part of their worship, and the babies would scream, and they were just excited by that, and they'd bow down, and whatever it was. But so here's the king on his throne. And it's this great national ceremony, and there's a lot of pomp and circumstance. These three men wouldn't knuckle under and wouldn't bow down to idols. They stood for the Jehovah God, the only three that we're aware of in this among these dignitaries. King's mad, has them thrown in. His men are burnt up. The fire is just kind of leaping out. It's seven times hotter than it's supposed to be, and maybe you know what that's like, and as far as the fire is leaping out and the gases. And they're all enjoying it, and he looks, and they're walking around in the flames. And he's count one, two, three, four. Didn't we throw three men in there? There's four. And what he's going to say is, it's Jesus. It's called a Christophany. He refers to it as an angel, but he had no theological training at all. And he says, there's a fourth man in the fire. Let's read on here. Verse 26. Yep. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, I wanted to go before that. Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 24, was astonished, rose up in haste, spake and said to the counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. There's no screaming. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Somehow God reveals that to Nebuchadnezzar. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. Everyone sees the power of God when there's a fiery furnace and his people, God's people, stay faithful in the persecution. Fiery furnaces, these kind, are good. Burns away the dross. The impurities. There are some that aren't really born again and they just kind of pretend along the way they're the first to throw in the towel. Revival will come because of fiery furnaces. Yep. Some of the nations closest to God in this world that we're living in, as far as its sheer numbers, are nations where there is great persecution. And the princes and the governors and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That never would have happened without the fiery furnace and three faithful men, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. I'm thinking about Romans chapter 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Let me just talk about that holiness. I'm done, other than the word promoted here. Holiness. Remember Daniel? He prayed. I think I alluded to this last week. He prays. He's asking for direction. God sends an angel from heaven. The angel is hindered along the way because a warring angel from hell is fighting against him. And I think it takes, man, I should have checked this out. I think it takes 21 days. It might be 14 for the angel to get there. He finally gets there and he says, listen, Daniel, God heard your prayer right from the get-go. And I've had a hard time getting here. There's spiritual battles going on everywhere, especially when it comes to the word of God and what was recorded in the word of God. And Daniel falls on his face before the angel. He gets right down on his face, and the angel picks him up, and he's on the Bible says in the palms of his hands and on his knees. And he said, all of my righteousness is corruptness in the presence of a holy angel. That isn't even Jesus. You think you're pretty spiritual? That isn't even Christ. What's it going to be like when we stand before him? Amen. The holy God of heaven. You see, it matters how you live, how you talk, what you drink, what you wear, who you hang out with. That all matters to God. I know it may not matter to some people on this earth, but it matters to God. And it says here, let's read on. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. He's still a brutal man. And their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I circled that in my Bible. There is no other God. Amen. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Started out pretty good. There were leaders. Then it went real bad. The bottom dropped out. They were tested by God and proved by God and stood faithful. And because of it, they got better and they got stronger. And it ended better than it started. It does pay to serve God. Okay, so here's the message. I pray you got a lot out of that. You know what? I just kind of poured out the passage as best I could, and I didn't cover everything. It might be that you're here as a child of God, and you're no more interested in serving God than going to the moon. It might be you've received his gift of salvation, and you tucked it under your arm, and that's all you want. I hope not. I pray not. And I'm praying that God will give us some young men like Babylon had from the land of Israel that weren't willing to compromise. They didn't bend. They didn't budge. They didn't bow. And we found out they wouldn't burn. Here's a great truth. No matter what the fiery furnace, for the child of God, the fourth man is there. He's there to help you every step of the way. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what kind of fiery furnace is in your future, no matter what kind of fiery furnace you're in right now, the fourth man, that's where Jesus is. And he'll help you. And he'll provide for you. You know what they were doing? I don't know what they were talking about, but in the fiery furnace, they were fellowshipping. And it was sweet. They weren't cringing and hiding in a corner and trying to get where the flame was the coolest. They were walking around. And it just, Jesus was there. So much so that even the ruler of Babylon said, it's the Son of God. That's what a fiery furnace will do. And if you're here and you're not born again, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just listen to this last paragraph of information I'm going to give you. God loves you so much, he sent his only begotten Son. And what you need to do to be born again is ask Christ to come into your heart. And he'll do it. He'll do it this morning. If you're watching by way of live stream, if you understand that you're a sinner, and we all are, and you understand that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, as it says 400 times in the Word of God, is the only way to heaven. And if you'll just be sorry for your sins and cry out to God, repenting, that's what repenting is. God, I need you as my Savior. Jesus, I want you to forgive me of all. He'll do that this morning. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, like the man beating his breast outside the temple. Jesus said he left justified. God, be merciful. Understand who you are and who Jesus is, and ask him to save you this morning.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.